الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والليل إذا يغشى والنهار إذا تجلى وما خلق الذكر والأنثى إن سعيكم لشتى فأما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى وأما من بخل واستغنى وكذب بالحسنى فسنيسره للعسرى صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of listening and discussing the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Today we begin the next chapter. The chapter's name is Surah Al-Layl, named after the first oath that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes in this chapter. In this chapter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on three things. The night, which is the surah, is also named after this, and the day. And then Allah takes an oath upon Himself. And to summarize what's going to be spoken about today is very, very simple. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very beautifully and very clearly outlines that in this dunya there are two types of people. Then Allah lists the kind of actions that the first group will be part of. And then Allah lists the kind of actions that the second group will act upon. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the destination of each of these groups. So to begin with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on the night. Allah says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى, and by the night when it covers. What does it cover? The Mufassirin write that here could mean the sun, or it could also mean the day. When the night covers the day, in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُغْشِ اللَّيْلَ النَّهَارِ, the night covers up the day. So it's possible. But both meanings can be found here. And to remind ourselves again, many, many places in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oaths, generally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take oaths on various different creation. And in essence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing the attention of the ummah to Himself. to his own greatness, because generally when you draw the attention of someone to the greatness of something or the beauty of something, you are inadvertently turning their attention to its creator. For example, if you say, look at this painting, it's such a beautiful painting, so the next question would be, who's the painter? So you know that this painter is a very skilled artist. And likewise, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on the night. Says when it covers up the day, when it covers up the sun, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى, and by the day, when it becomes clear, when it becomes evident, when it shows itself. وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. Here ma comes in the meaning of man, and man means the one who. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath upon himself by saying, and by the one who created male and female. By the one who created male and female. There's so much to understand just from this, although the surah tafsir is not based on it. But nowadays we have such great fitnas that people are trying to educate our children to believe that it is possible to be born into the wrong body. And sometimes they make people believe that a boy should be turning into a girl and a girl should be turning into a boy. Wa na'udhu billahi min dhalik. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children and future generations. Such fitnas are coming today that it's actually very flabbergasting that such things can actually be accepted in this day and age. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Inna sa'yakum lashatta. Verily, your efforts are various, are diverse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sets up by this verse, Allah sets up the main theme of the surah. And in the following verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then outlines two paths. The first path is the path of the righteous, and the second path is the path of the wretched. And to finish off, we will also mention a small mas'ala of aqidah as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to explain that, and in the following verses, Allah, the message is that from a dispositional perspective, from a natural perspective of nature, mankind are generally inclined towards good or bad. As mentioned in hadith as well, and we will mention this hadith afterwards. So the first group of people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with regards to them, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. As for the people who gave, what does it mean by giving? Here, it means that they were generous with their wealth, and moreover means that they fulfilled their obligations of giving zakat and fulfilling their sadqa wajibah. Like for example, at the time of the Eid al-Fitr, it is wajib to give sadaqatul fitr upon certain groups of people. At the time of Eid al-Adha, it's necessary to perform qurbani upon certain groups of people. And annually, it is farz to give zakat upon certain groups of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning these people here, that when the time came for them to give, they fulfilled their obligations and they gave. And they were not stingy, they were generous. وَاتَّقَى. And they feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, there are countless places where we can say that if a person was to take just these few verses and nothing else, and he would act upon them for all his life, then he would be successful and he would get into Jannah. This first half of this chapter is also like this. If a person was to just look at these verses and he was to act upon them and nothing else, this would get this person to Jannah. So for the good people, Allah mentions three things. For the bad people, Allah mentions three things. So essentially, Allah is commanding us to perform and act upon these three things, and Allah is telling us to stay away from three things. So the three things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is to be generous and to fulfill our monetary obligations, and to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and he believed in the best. Husna, in the Arabic language, you have something called afdhul tafdhil. And it has two, the male version of it and the female version of it. So the male version of this word would be ahsan, and the female version of this would be husna. And it translates into the best. And the meaning of husna over here is that the religion and the deen and the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, he believed in the kalima, yani he became a Muslim. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى, so soon we will make the ease easy for him. Now what does it mean by ease? So here is actually more relating to the place of ease. What is the place where is there is just ease and there is no difficulty? Then this means that the verse is relating to Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we will make the path to Jannah easy for him. Now, one question can arise here, that there are three things mentioned: fulfilling our monetary obligations, number one, number two, fearing Allah, and number three, bringing iman. So bringing iman is actually the most important thing. That's key. But it's mentioned last. Why? Normally you mention the most important things first. So the answer is simple, that this list is more pertinent to physical actions or monetary forms of worship, whereas the action of bringing iman is related more to the heart and from a spiritual perspective. Also related to this is one hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kullu nas yagdu faba'i'u nafsahu famu'tiquha aw mubiquha, that every single person, they go in the morning and they are selling this themselves. So some, through selling themselves, they will become successful and they will free their soul. And others, they will ruin themselves. What it's saying is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us time, and it's up to us how we use this time. So we are selling ourselves for what? So if we use our time, if we sacrifice our life, ourselves, our souls in doing something good, we are giving our time up in exchange for something good. Through this trade, we will enter into Jannah. And if we use our time to do bad, then through this exchange, we will enter into Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then moves on to the second group of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى, as for the people who were stingy, yani they did not give their sadaqah, they did not give their zakah, they did not spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they did not fulfill their monetary obligations. Wastaghna, they deemed themselves to be independent. They did not believe that they need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not believe that they need the guidance of the Quran and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They believed that their wealth would lead them to eternal success. We have mentioned this previously in the context of Abu Lahab and his wife. So, They deem themselves to be independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى And they rejected the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so soon we will make the difficulty easy for him. Ya'ni, the difficulty over here is which place is just difficulty and no ease. This is talking about Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we will make the path to Jannah easy for him. And to conclude, we will explain one mas'ala of aqidah here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's mentioned in a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ كُتِبَ مَقْعَدُهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَقْعَدُهُ مِنَ النَّارِ Every single person, his place in Jannah and Jahannam has already been written. So then the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, they said that, Ya Rasulullah, so, you know, what about amal? Should we not just then depend on this? That if I'm in Jannah, I'm in Jannah. If I'm in Jahannam, I'm in Jannah. Why should I act then? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له Act, put effort and do a'mal because whatever you have been created for, Allah will make that easier for you. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites the verses, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى So, when it comes to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, often this question arises that if everything was written in taqdeer from before, why should I make any effort? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this, اِعْمَلُوا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us free will. And through this free will, Allah has given us, along with this free will, Allah has given us knowledge. And He has given His signs, and it's up to us to make that decision. Are we going to follow the first path from the people that it has been said about them, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى Or are we going to follow the second path, that it'll be where the difficulty will be made easy for us? And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes it for us that the good deeds that will lead us to Jannah, Allah makes them easy for us. Allah makes our desires in this. Allah makes our pleasure in this. We find, if you look at the lives of our kabirin, the lives of our elders, and I'll finish on this, their desires were according to the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, and I'll finish on this. I remember my late ustad, the Shaykh Muhammad wa ta'ala rahimahullah, mentioned once that during the month of Ramadan, the Shaykh Muhammad Zakariya Khan Lavi, at the time of iftar, he would have half a date. And this was the long summer fast in the heat of India. He used to have half a date, half a khajur, iftar time, and then he would start his salah. After Maghrib, he would awabin, and he would just continue praying the Nafil salah. And we wondered how Hazrat Rahimullah would even survive on half a day. And at suhoor, he would have half a day. And that's it. This was the food he ate. His desires were in salah. His desires were fulfilled in salah. Similarly, has been also said about Hazrat Rahimullah, the Shaykh Manisul Mutala Rahimullah, that when everyone used to run to the Dasturkhan of the long summer fasts, we've all experienced these fasts not long ago. He's so hungry at the time, the mouth is so dry. Hazrat Rahimullah in Darul Uloom, he would be in the corner and he would be praying salah, long, long nafil salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the same ability so that our desires become according and in conformity with the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it be that sinning becomes harder for us and doing good deeds becomes easy for us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك